Welcome back.
I'm most interested in the test from Thursday. I have a class that had a bunch of stuff turned in on the Wednesday, and so they're first in line, so to speak. So I've been grading their stuff, and I should be done with all that grading today, and then I will be able to grade their tests. So maybe I'll hand them back Tuesday if everything goes well. Okay. Yeah, the grading from Wednesday for my advanced calculus class has taken longer than I anticipated, so I haven't gotten to your tests yet. So just be patient. Okay. So, Wednesday, right, our last lecture, we were focusing on speeding up and slowing down. And we looked at the derivative of the magnitude of the derivative of position. There you go. Derivative of magnitude of derivative. The rate of change of the magnitude of the rate of change of position. Or more succinctly, the rate of change of speed with respect to time, of course. And we found that it all boiled down to, at least if you just care about speeding up or slowing down, it's just what is the angle between velocity and acceleration? Right? Acceleration being the time derivative of velocity. If you have an angle of less than 90 degrees, right? Then your dot product is positive, and therefore you're speeding up. On the other hand, if it's a 90-degree angle, then the dot product is zero, and your speed is constant, like you're going around in a circle. If the dot product is negative, that corresponds to an angle bigger than 90 degrees, and you're slowing down. Now, what I want to focus more today on is how do we understand turning, okay? Not just how fast you're going, but in which direction you're going. And so to study that, you want to sort of forget about speed. So how do we forget about speed? We just divide it out. So the unit tangent vector, which is written as a T, right? If you're in physics, you're going to think this is a tension force, but it's not. It stands for unit tangent vector. And what it is just the unit vector in the direction of your velocity. So in physics notation, this would be vector v, or vector velocity, divided by the scalar v, the magnitude of your velocity. Depends on what kind of notation you like. If you want it all in terms of the primes, right, it would look like this. Sometimes I get a little bit of prime overload, especially when there's a mix of primes and slashes. It's handy to introduce another letter like a V or an A to minimize all those little primes out there. Divide out the speed. Now you're just looking at the direction of motion. Where you're going. This is an arrow. It has magnitude 1, no physical units. You may have had meters per second as units of velocity, but then when you divide out by speed with the same units, all the units get canceled away. So there's no physical units. It's just an arrow, an abstract arrow of magnitude 1. The only thing physical about it is it points where you're going. So if you're going due north, this arrow points north. If you're going straight up, this arrow points up. But its magnitude is just 1 with no physical units. And let's see. Example of this. The twisted cubic again. where your position was just given by three polynomials and components. So the unit tangent vector would be the velocity vector divided by its magnitude, which is the usual Pythagorean formula for magnitude. This vector will always have magnitude 1, but it won't always point in the same direction, unless you really are traveling on a straight line. So, let's see. I can plug in some numbers. So let's say you want to know what it is at time t equals 1. Or if you really want it written in components separately, you'd have to bring it in like this, but either way is fine by me. I think this one's a little easier to read. Get it factored out. But what about at t equals 2? It'd be different. Squared plus 4 squared plus 12 squared, whatever that is. I think it's that. And you can see that these really are different. And just look at the first component. The first component will be 1 over the square root of 14 at time 1, 1 over the square root of 161 at time t equals 2. So the direction is changing, and we saw a graph of this curve, right? It wasn't a straight line, so you should expect this. Now, something you can ask is, how fast are you turning? How can we make turning quantifiable? Well, the natural thing to do is say, okay, let's look at our direction of motion and measure the rate at which it changes. So we're just going to take the time derivative of the unit tangent vector. That'll tell us how fast we're changing direction. It's a little bit abstract. I mean, it takes some care to interpret this. Because remember, this is a unit vector with magnitude 1. So we're measuring the rate at which this vector, this abstract arrow of magnitude 1, is moving around. If you think of it as an arrow starting at the origin, it could point anywhere on a sphere of radius 1. And so you're measuring how fast is it moving around on that sphere. Now, of course, you can figure this out. You know, it's kind of annoying. It can be done. So what do we have to do? We could do it component by component. That's how the derivative is defined. It's just rather tedious. You may want to have your calculator do a formula like this. The calculators I recommend, for example, on the syllabus, can give you not just a derivative at a point where they give you the slope is 5 or whatever, but they can actually give you a formula for the derivative at all points.
I mean, you have to be careful, that sort of thing, because there's going to be...
If you use the division by square root, then you've got to make it a quotient rule.
If you
think of this, the division by square root as multiplying by -1/2 power, then you're going to have to use a product rule.
And, of course, you'll have to use a chain rule because
there's stuff inside the square root that's not constant.
Let's see. About... Okay, good. My calculator's got one of them.
It tries to be oh so helpful and simplify everything. Sometimes I don't agree with the calculator, but it's simplest, but anyways. It's trying to get fancy. It factored out that polynomial for me. I'm not sure I needed that, but anyways. All three factors were going to have the a common denominator, so I'm factoring that out. It's less painful to write. Okay, there it is. Yeah, it's kind of a pain to compute these things. There are some patterns to what they are. So if you want to do a proof in use the product rule and other rules. Proof takes about a page, but you can prove that this derivative can be expressed purely in terms of velocity and acceleration. This can give us a little bit better understanding of this rate of turning concept. If you got a little bit of prime overload there, you can call the R primes V's for velocity and the R double primes A's for acceleration. So then this becomes acceleration minus the projection of acceleration onto velocity over the magnitude of velocity. Of speed. So, in words, the rate of turning is the part of acceleration perpendicular to velocity. That's what the numerator is doing here. Right? You're taking the part of acceleration that's parallel or anti-parallel to velocity. So that's the part of acceleration that's speeding you up or slowing you down. And you're subtracting it off. And all that's left over is the part of acceleration that turns you, the part of acceleration that's perpendicular to velocity. And then you have to divide out by speed to get the correct magnitude for this rate of turning.
So an alternative way of computing this rate of turning would have been to compute acceleration and then use dot products and magnitudes to get the projection vector, subtract it out, and divide by speed. If you're using a calculator, it's probably to get the derivative formulas, this is probably more straightforward. Now, the thing about this is often you don't actually need to know the direction of the rate of turning. Usually you're just most interested in the magnitude. And that's where we'll be going a bit when we talk about this kappa and this r, which are curvature and radius of curvature. But let me draw a picture here to try and illustrate what I was saying about the two parts of acceleration. So what's our picture? We imagine here's the origin, and then we have an object moving through space. It doesn't have to be outer space, it could be the air, or a fluid, whatever. Something is moving. And we draw an arrow from the origin to its current position. Now, as it moves, as time changes, it's going to trace out a curve of different positions, right? But you plug in a particular value for t, and we have a current position. Then you have a vector that points in the direction of motion. That's your velocity. Then we change the magnitude to 1. Get the unit tangent vector. Okay. And at this point, some color might be good. And so now we're looking at some things here. We're looking at how is velocity changing and how is the direction of velocity changing. And how velocity changes depends on two things. Are we speeding up or slowing down? And are we turning? Now, clearly here, I've drawn this curve so that we should be turning. We're turning to the right as we go along. And so there is going to be a vector here. That is going to be actually perpendicular, right, to velocity. It's going to be the perpendicular part of acceleration divided by speed. That's your turning vector, if you like. Now, there's another vector of its own magnitude that's just the perpendicular part of acceleration. I'll call it a perp. A minus A parallel, where A parallel is the part of acceleration parallel or anti-parallel to velocity. That thing. And we can imagine maybe we have our acceleration vector like this. So if that's the case, then to complete the picture, we need this right here to be the part of A that's parallel to B. So in this picture, we're speeding up and we're turning to the right. And there's a part of the acceleration that makes us speed up. There's another part that's turning us to the right. In terms of our notation here, this would be perpendicular part of acceleration divided by speed.
Questions or comments?
Clearly see the parallel and perpendicular parts of acceleration. This with this twisted cubic, it's not as easy to visualize. Okay, which part of the vector is the parallel part and which part is the perpendicular part? You can kind of guess how to split this up into two terms that correspond to these two terms in the numerator here. But it's nicer to have one with a simple geometry to it. So I'm going to consider a curve where we're just going around in a circle, but we're going around faster and faster. Approachable, getting a good picture.
So,
just say the radius is 1. I'll forget about physical units. And, let me do that. Let me put in a 5. Okay. You can think of it as 5 meters if you want. Because we're going to talk about radius of curvature in a minute, so we'll want to see a non-trivial radius appear. We're going to go around the circle of radius 5, but you see that our angular position, right, is given by t squared. So d theta dt is not a constant. It's 2t. And so the later in time you are, the faster your angular position is changing. And hence, the less time it takes for you to go 2 pi radians around the circle. So you're going to be going around the circle faster and faster. Yeah. So this is in the standard choice where it's a counterclockwise circle. So we have a circle of radius 5. We're going around it counterclockwise, so we're always going to be turning to the left. But we're also going to be going faster and faster. At least when t is positive. T was negative, that we'd actually be slowing down, right? When t is big and negative, you're really fast. You slow down and momentarily stop at t equals 0, then you speed up again. But at least when t is positive, we're going to be speeding up.
Okay. Yeah, that's counterclockwise.
Always turning to the left. Constant radius 5. All right, so the velocity, or the r prime,
There's a little bit of a confusion here, right? That there's a cylindrical coordinate r, and then there's a vector r, which means position. But the vector r is what I'm thinking about here.
Take the derivative.
And now you have to use the chain rule, right?
So you get negative 5 times the sine of t squared, then a factor of 2t by the chain rule. And that's the x component derivative. The y component derivative will be 5 times the cosine of t squared, and then times a chain rule factor of 2t. And there's no z component. Okay. And then let's take the derivative with respect to time again, and get acceleration. Now you'll see a product rule come into play. Remember I said to prove this general factor, you need a product rule. Okay, so this is why, because you always end up with something like this. Whenever your speed is actually changing, you end up with a rate of change thing popping out like this. So let's see. Product rule. So I'm going to take the derivative of the first term. And multiply it by the second term. Then I take the first term and multiply it by the derivative of the second term. That's the product rule in the first component. And again, if you have a calculator, you can get the formula for this. You can check and see if I've done my product rule correctly. Okay, now here. Product rule on the y component. Take the derivative of the first factor. And multiply it by the second factor. And then the next term we get by taking the first factor and multiplying it by the derivative of 2t, because 2t is the second factor, so a derivative of 2. And I guess it should be a plus there. It's all one big expression.
And here, you can just see it. You don't, I mean, yes, there's the good old dot product formula, right, for the projection. So yes, you can always use that in general. You might be able to just see what you're supposed to get from here. So look at velocity. Velocity is a negative sign in the x component, and a cosine in the y component. And look, that matches the terms over here. Negative sine the x component, cosine the y component. And then these other terms here, you can take a dot product to check, but these left two terms really are perpendicular, if you think of these two as a vector, to the right two terms thought of as a vector. So actually, it's a very simple decomposition in this case. If you don't believe me on this, you know, do the dot products and see. But claim that this is the part of A that's perpendicular to velocity, and then this is the part of acceleration that is parallel. Would be this thing here. You can factor out some stuff. The cosine squared plus sine squared is 1. Here. You just
get 10 times the magnitude T.
I did that right.
Yeah.
You can factor out the factor out the 2T and the 5. And then the cosine and sine get squared in the Pythagorean formula. So that's your speed. And then the unit tangent vector, I claim it's the perpendicular part of acceleration divided by the speed. So it'll be this stuff over here. See, there's some common factors, right? A negative 5, a 2t, another 2t. So it's going to make that a big negative 20t squared. And then you have a cosine t squared of the x component, a sine t squared in the y component, and nothing in the z component. And all this gets divided by mt. Oh, well, that's the t prime. If you just want the unit tangent vector itself, that's much easier. Okay? That's just velocity divided by speed. And so you just factor out the 10t. Not very exciting. Up here, you can simplify this fraction for the time derivative a little bit, and it comes out to 2 times the absolute value of t times cosine of t squared and sine of t squared of 0. And you can check that if you take the derivative of this, you really do, or sorry, if you take the derivative of my formula here for t, you really do get the same formulas I got up here. So they actually do work out. There's a little bit of confusion, you know, maybe with, well, you know, what happens if t is negative. With all the absolute values and signs, you know. Don't worry about that too much. If you want to just understand what I'm doing there, just think about the case where t is positive and all the absolute value bars and, you know, are gone and the sine of t is just 1. Anyways. I was trying to be technically correct there by handling the case where t is negative and positive, all with one notation. Now, what does this look like in the picture? A circle of radius 5. We have a velocity vector. We have a unit tangent vector. We're speeding up. So our acceleration vector is like this. Less than 90 degree angle with the velocity vector. Not quite so long. And then it's got these two parts to it. Got the part of it that's making speed up, parallel part. And you've got this part that's making the turn to the left, the perpendicular part of the acceleration. Now, if you've taken physics, you may have heard of a formula about
uniform circular acceleration, A equals V squared over R. And there is a general form of that that we study here, where we would like to know, besides just all of this kind of motion stuff here, we would like to know the shape of the curve. And you can actually get this phi back just by looking at two things. You look at the magnitude of velocity, and you look at the magnitude of your rate of turning. And this is kind of the analog of that V squared over R equals A formula. This works though even when you're not going around a circle at constant speed. You can check this. If you have 10 times the magnitude of T, here you have 2 times the magnitude of T. But then times a vector. Now this vector here, well, it's going to have magnitude 1, because cosine squared plus sine squared is 1. So the 10t divided by the 2t does give you 5. And that's not just a coincidence. Basically, you can factor out all the stuff that has to do with time and get something purely about the shape of the curve. That's called the radius of curvature. If you want to ignore time, that's the trick right there. It's your rate of change of position, it's magnitude of speed. So divided by rate of change of turning. So conceptually, this is the formula. The radius of curvature is the magnitude of the rate of displacement. How fast are you moving? Divided by the magnitude of the rate of turning. That would be R prime's magnitude divided by T prime's magnitude. Or if you like the velocity notation, then it'd be like this. If you want to put that in terms of our formula, this formula for the unit tangent vector, perpendicular part of acceleration divided by speed, then over here you get that with a little algebra. R is V squared over A, provides you, by A you mean the perpendicular part of acceleration. And if you do more algebra, that's the same as saying A is V squared over R.
for the right medium of A. So you may have seen that physics formula before. Huh? The magnitude of the perpendicular part of your acceleration, the part that's making you turn, is your squared speed divided by the radius of curvature. And you should think of the radius of curvature as the circle that best approximates your curve. You imagine a circle that's, it's called the osculating circle, and osculating is one of those Latin or Greek words that means something simple, just sounds fancy, right? Just means kissing, right? Yeah. Imagine this. There's some kind of circle here that approximates your curve really well, but I don't claim to be able to draw it. I sent out an email and a picture of one of those. Imagine something like this. If you've got a tight curve, right, then it takes a small circle. Right? So the osculating circle at that part of the curve would be a pretty small radius. But over here, say, where you're almost going in a straight line, the osculating circle will have a big radius. At that moment in time, it feels like you're hardly turning at all. It's like you're going on a really... If you are turning, you must be turning on a really big circle. Whereas here, it's a really tight turn, so it's like you're on a small circle. Questions or... Yeah?
Why are they called kissing circles?
Well, it's... The idea is they touch each other. The shapes locally they just about perfectly match. They kiss. I don't know. I didn't invent the name, but that's what it means. But you can just say osculating if you don't want to say kissing. Right? That's the technical term. Everyone says osculating. I mean, arguably they could have just said the circle tangent to the curve, but that's not precise enough because technically you can have all sorts of circles tangent to the curve, but they don't fit as well. It's kind of an imprecise way of putting it. But maybe you can agree that if I drew a circle like this, with a much, much bigger radius, it doesn't really capture this tight turn as well, right? Whereas this circle seems to be hugging the curve a little better right here than this one. I mean, the ultimate justification for it, I think, is that when you have an actual circle, it gives you the right number. Okay? And so if you want to generalize to things that aren't circles, start with something that works for circles. Now, there's some shortcuts to all this stuff. In 3D at least, there's a shortcut for getting the magnitude involving a cross product. So if you want to know the magnitude of the perpendicular part, all you have to do is take the magnitude of the cross product of the thing you want to be perpendicular to, in this case V, divide out V. And if you use that shortcut formula, then you find that the radius of curvature will be given by, instead of a V squared, now you'll have the magnitude of V cubed, right? Over A cross B. Or if you want to do everything in terms of primes, this is the magnitude of R prime cubed over R double prime cross product R prime's magnitude. And there's a related concept, so you'll see this, kappa. If people just say curvature, all they mean is the reciprocal of the radius of curvature. So the radius of curvature will be measured in meters, say, this will be measured in per meter, right? Reciprocal of meters. Inverse meters, whatever you want to call it. So kappa would be this formula turned upside down. So this is a formula you should see in the book. Okay. So this is how we understand turning using calculus. Number one, we get the unit tangent vector. Number two, we look at how it changes. And then number three, we can look at just the geometry by factoring out all the time parts this way and get a radius of curvature.
Questions or comments about this?
Unit for the tangent vector, so it'll be like the direction per second?
There's just no units, right? Because it's defined as velocity divided by magnitude velocity, so all the units cancel out. It's just pure numbers. In 3D, it'd be a list of three pure numbers. Practice with these quantities for homework. So what do we want to find? We want to find in which direction are we going? We want to find at what rate is our direction turning? At what rate are we turning? At what rate is our direction of motion changing? And then we want to find this geometric quantity, the radius of curvature. Second one will be a helix. And then for the third one, third one, let's look at...
No, we don't need a third one, that's okay.
But
yeah, but I don't want time zero there. That's the one thing I do want to.
That's kind of a special case for Google.
Look at the Google monitors. There.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
This is homework 16.
No. Well, we're both wrong. It's homework 16. Right? Okay. So this is not due for a while. It's the older homework 9 through 13 that's due tomorrow.